The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Now, Nevin Maguire, the TV chef and the owner of McNean House and Restaurant, is with me in studio after his sunny adventures through the Iberian Peninsula for his show, Nevin's Portuguese Food Trails. Before we talk about what you got up to, Nevin, you have to kind of pardon my naivety here, but is there a dish that's synonymous with Portugal?
Okay, that's a really good question. Fish.
Okay.
Fish down in the Algarve and then up the north, which I kind of learnt is they do pork, every piece of pork. I had one of these meals and in this kitchen, this lady can't speak English. I can't speak Portuguese. One of these moments, she's making a rice dish, cooking all these different parts of pork. What does she put into rice? Fresh pork blood. I've never seen it before.
What?
Fresh pork blood. She had a big jug of it. Goes into the rice. It's a speciality up the north and they love it. They eat every single part. Pig intestine, the ears, the nose, the feet.
Brilliant. And what kind of texture does that? I'm kind of okay. I'm imagining kind of a black pudding having been mashed into my
That's
rice.
That's actually very good. Very good. I think you hit them because it kind of coagulates our listeners. But it's rich. It's kind of a little touch of thought cinnamon in it, but it's very rich. Did I like it? It was different.
Okay. So it's funny, it's the way you describe it, though. It's a little, you know, in Ireland, we don't have kind of dishes. There are dishes, but it's the ingredients is really kind of is the selling point for our food. It sounds like Portugal maybe is a little similar
compared
to like a country like Italy, where it's a specific dishes.
I agree. And regional. You're right about that. Say Alan and Tejo, they have beautiful pork. And that's what they specialise in.
Yeah.
And they're gorgeous wines, like they're red and white wines. What we tried to do in the restaurant, put more and more Portuguese wines on. They're gems. They're beautiful. So they are from the Douro or Alentejo or Douro. You know, it's a great country. First of all, people ask me, you know, why Portugal? Well, I like the people. I like the country. I go there on holidays. A lot of Irish people go there.
Yeah.
And they're very good to us. When we go over, when I say us, it's the teams, you know, and we go over, it's the tourists, the Portuguese Tourist Board who say, we go there, we go here. We're staying in Posadas, which I've never stayed in before. So these are old monasteries, convents, really historic buildings.
These are like when people do the Camino, they kind of stay on similar ones. Yeah.
They're good value. You know, they're not expensive. You think, God, it's going to be 5-star. It's not. Simple local employment, simple food, really some lovely rooms, but the location is pretty impressive. There's a feeling and each one is different, you know, and they're all designed and they're just gorgeous. So they are, you know, they really are nice.
Yeah. It must be nice as well to pick a country with good weather to go and shoot these things in.
As you said, we went in April, yes, to a certain degree, and it is 99% good.
Oh,
it First
didn't.
Day we arrived, it rained.
Oh, yeah.
And then we were doing another piece to camera and it lashed rain, but they need the rain because they get so much good.
Yeah, well, it's funny. I mentioned the Camino. My parents did the Camino a couple of years ago. That's so, like from Portugal up, as opposed to across the north of Spain, as usually people do. It lashed the whole time they were there. All their photos are in ponchos.
Oh, no, I know.
And, you know, yeah.
And you know, we're used to it, like, you know, but
get trench foot.
Yeah, they do get really, really hot.
Yeah.
Especially in Alentejo, you can go up to 40 degrees. They say the summer can be really intense and warm. And that's why they have such great wines. You know, they're really, really, it's a gem of a place. And it's kind of been now rediscovered. And a lot more people are, you know, you go to the Algarve, it's lovely, Beach Holiday. We love that, my twins and Imelda. But when you go up the north, it's definitely a different feel.
Yeah.
But Porto's a great city, great weekend break. And the port wine, wow, it's beautiful.
Is it getting harder and harder to find yourself surprised by what people do with food in other countries?
No, definitely not.
Okay.
No, definitely not. It's something like I'm 51, I've been cooking now since I was 12, but definitely see, and then when you go on and you travel and you see kind of like the chef cooking something different using local produce, it's kind of all kind of good food all evolves around that. But as I say, like, I'm cooking all my life, I've never seen anyone cooking with blood. That was something.
Yeah, and so will it be available up in Black Lion?
No.
Will it?
No.
No, you're not going
to? I'm going to leave it to the Portuguese people and for the Irish people to go over and enjoy it. It was very different. I don't think my customers would really like it. But
no, What's this stuff in my rice,
Nevin? Exactly.
Wait till I tell you.
But you had it really well described, like black pudding, because we do like black pudding in Ireland, so we do.
Yeah, maybe that's the way to sell it. Yeah, mask it as black pudding. So, how much then, if not the kind of the coagulated blood, how often when you're away, and be it for a show like this, say for the food trails or even just on holidays, do you see something or do you taste something and you think, you know what, that would work at home?
Yeah, there is.
Does that happen often?
I'll tell you, one of my favourite restaurants in a place called Villa Vita, it's called Ocean. It's an Austrian kitchen and the chef is absolutely amazing. We go there, myself, Imelda, Conor Lucia, and his food is amazing. The way he does seafood is just beautiful. and Wagyu beef. I actually use Irish beef too on one of his menus, an Irish lamb, which I was really impressed in. So it's lovely to see that. It's a taste of menu he does. We go there and you get a lot of inspiration. Mm. And they're the kind of places that you could go and get little inspiration. You never copy. You get inspiration.
Yeah.
That could work. I'm going to try that with this and this and them. Your guests will always tell you in the restaurant, we put a new dish on, we can all like it. But after a night or two, I say, I want to know feedback from my guests. So if it's a thumbs up, we'll keep it on the menu. And if they don't like it, it goes down. I'll tell you why. Once I had this dish on turbot with braised beef cheek, and I'd done a little turbot's a beautiful flatfish, so I braised some beef cheek, stuffed the turbot, cooked it, done it with, I think, a sepp and truffle risotto and a lovely rich red wine. People said it was too rich, too heavy.
Okay.
And particularly women, because they like fish.
Yeah.
And I'm not being sexist or anything like that, but just I thought it was a beautiful dish, but no, we took it off the menus, which is like.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah.
It is.
So you mentioned the kids there. So is it Connor is talking about following the footsteps?
Maybe. Connor's, they're 13 now, 2 weeks, so they're both twins.
Okay, yeah.
So, you know, when I look back when I was their age, like, they've experienced different flavours and textures and whatever foods that I wouldn't have dreamt of having. So doesn't it show you the way the Irish palate has changed overall, not just my kids in general, the variety and choice we have in Ireland. Connor said he wants to be a chef. They're both doing home economics, so they're in first year at Manor Hamilton.
Right.
They're enjoying it. So I think the greatest gift for me as a chef, is to teach my kids how to cook and enjoy food. I learned from my own family, there's 9 in my family and none of them wanted to be chefs. It's too hard to work.
Yeah.
But I love it. It's what I've always wanted to do. Never did I think when I started cooking that I wanted to be on TV or write cookbooks. It's about the enjoyment of food. I still love being in my kitchen.
Yeah.
And that's what it's all about. So
I guess the to a degree, and I wonder, you tell me, like, say with Connor, and I'm not suggesting, like, anyone who knows you knows how hard you work, but he sees the kind of you go to Portugal and you shoot a show and you know, and do you kind of have to sit him down and say, you know, Connor, 9 out of 10 restaurants kind of close within a year, this type of thing, you know?
Well, that is a very good point. Well, I think when I started training as a chef, my first jobs, I still remember scrubbing cookertops, sawing bones for stock, prepping vegetables, and you start off, that's your apprentice, that's when you're a commie, emptying bins, doing the scrubbing. So you have to learn your graft and start off at the very bottom and work your way up. It's not that he thinks he's going to go straight.
Yeah.
But
God, I could go to Portugal and make a TV show. Yeah. I think I'll be a
chef. Don't be giving him ideas now, Jonathan. But, you know, me and Imelda were talking about that the weekend. What we'd love him to do now is in a year or two to go in and have a couple of hours in the Sahara, earn some money. Like me and my twin, we did it. We worked, we helped in the restaurant, we washed dishes. So we grew up with that good work ethic because, you know, hard work doesn't kill anyone. You know, it's good for the mind and I think it's very good to appreciate what you have.
Yeah, it is. I mean, that kind of brings us on to when I talk about restaurant closures. I mean, it's a difficult time out there, isn't it?
Ah, it is. It's never been harder. Like, we're 36 years open without the bedrooms. We have 60 staff and we do about maybe 55, 60 is the max we do every night. So we're full every night. We open 5 days a week, but we wouldn't survive without the bedrooms. So it's a really, really tough time. So I think the government coming in, hopefully they're going to look after small businesses and, you know, because they're the heart and soul of every community. So with the VAT rate, I think it's only one piece of the jigsaw, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
It's everything.
Would you like to see that happen soon? They're talking about saying, no, there's no supplementary budget. We're going to wait until October.
Oh, God. Oh, I can see a lot more places closed.
Yeah.
I worry about small businesses. I'll give you an example. One of the ingredients we use, chocolate, about before Christmas, it's gone up €81 for one bag. That's one ingredient. One ingredient. We're buying the best, you know.
Yeah.
So the food costs, like, you know, again, we have the bedrooms, which we're very lucky. But when you're buying good quality and you're supporting Irish producers, that's really important. Not the chocolate ones, obviously, because that comes in from Belgium or wherever. But you're good, wholesome, like, if with the best meat in the world, fish. So when you're trying to buy local and buy Irish, there's a cost to it. So it is difficult. So hopefully when they get up and running, and they'll kind of look into that, hopefully, fingers crossed.
Lots of love, it has to be said, on the text line for Nevin Maguire, as there always is. He was with me a few minutes ago and we were chatting about a whole host of things, amongst them Nevin's Portuguese Food Trails, which is on actually on a Wednesday night, 8 p.m. on RTE. You can watch back any episodes you missed on the RTE player as well.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.